I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. In childhood, my guest, Liberty Forrest, discovered her abilities as a psychic and medium. These abilities continued to develop over the years, leading her to do readings professionally. Now, living in Western Canada, previously Liberty enjoyed an idyllic life in rural England, where for 5 years she appeared approximately monthly on BBC Radio doing psychic phone-ins for listeners. Eventually, she took to the stage where she connected audience members with loved ones in spirit. Liberty is an award-winning author and Huffington Post contributor who has several books on inspiration self-help topics. She also writes paranormal thriller saga fiction. Her compelling book, The Power and Simplicity of Self-Healing, has been changing lives and helping people find hope and healing in several countries around the world. In 2015, her book, Meditation Essentials, How to Quiet the Mind to Achieve More Personal and Professional Success, won the Beverly Hills International Book Award in the well-being category. Currently, she enjoys doing readings for clients, internet video calls, offering compassionate, heart-centered guidance to help them get unstuck and moving forward. She also assists people in developing their own abilities as psychics and mediums, including offering one-on-one guidance to fully access their intuitive abilities. More information is available at www.libertyforrest.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Liberty, and I look forward to hearing about communicating with spirit. Now, first, what is the difference between a psychic and a medium?
Well, I thank you very much for the invitation to talk about these things. Thank you for this interview. That's an important question because a lot of people really don't understand the differences. And a psychic, or being psychic, means that you can connect with the energies of people or events or buildings or the past or potential future or the present. And it's like connecting to, I'm going to say, sort of earthly things, but being a medium means that you're connecting with the spirit realm. So to be psychic, you have to be vibrating at a high vibrational frequency, but to be a medium requires an even higher level. So all mediums are psychic, but not all psychics are mediums.
Oh. And how did you know you had these abilities?
Well, it was sort of a rude awakening, and I suspect that I expect that there were probably other incidents before the one that hit me in the face, but I grew up in a rather toxic environment, so I probably didn't notice the subtler energies. But when I was just turned 16, I woke up one morning and I had been having this terrible dream that my two best childhood friends were dead. And I couldn't shake the feeling when I woke up. I was getting ready for school. And I went out to the kitchen and I sat down to breakfast and told my parents right away because this dream was bothering me so much. And they looked at each other sort of strangely. My dad got up and went around the corner into the living room and he brought back the morning paper and he just put it in front of me and pointed to an article. And there it was. They were dead. Their family had been in an accident in a blizzard. They had a collision with a train and the two girls were dead. Well, that was upsetting enough, being, you know, that they're my friends. And what do you mean children die? That, you know, that can't happen. And then, of course, this was, as I say, back in the dark ages when there were no, you know, there was no Long Island medium on TV. There was no John Edward. There were no mind, body, spirit expos. There were no psychic fairs or psychic hotlines. This wasn't even a thing. Nobody talked about it. So, yeah, it was pretty frightening.
And how has your life been impacted by being a psychic and medium?
I guess the beginning part, sort of going straight from that story, was that the first several years I was terrified. And I didn't understand it, and there was no way to get information. And someone I respected highly at some point, I think I was in my early 20s then, told me that it meant I had been possessed by Satan, because things kept evolving. After mm-hmm. that incident, mm-hmm. it just kept happening more and more in different ways. And I knew things, and I'd see things, and I'd have more dreams that people were in trouble or dead or whatever. Then after several years of this evolving naturally and becoming stronger, this woman said I'd been possessed by Satan. I'd never given Satan a thought in my life until that moment. And then I was absolutely terrified, because mm-hmm. what if she was right, you know? Those first several years, it was really hard. And then after that, another few years passed, and I started to understand that it was a gift and meant to help people. Mm-hmm. When I got brave enough to say something, if I was given a message or I knew something was wrong and that sort of thing. But it's also made me extra sensitive to my surroundings and to my environment. That can be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on what the environment is. So, for example, if I can just walk through a crowd or walk down the street and pass somebody who's having a really bad day, and I feel like I've been slammed with a bag of bricks.
Mm-hmm.
It just hits me really hard. It can also be wonderful, because you can really soak up the good energy when you're with somebody who's got a really lovely presence. Another thing is, people sometimes worry that I know things about them, and they feel like I'm being a psychic spy, but I would never do that. I mean, there are people who are not particularly ethical about it, and they will do that. I don't. I couldn't. A terrible thing. But it can put people off, and they feel very guarded with it. So at times, it has created a bit of a barrier between me and other people who might otherwise just want to just be friends, you know? People often expect free readings when they meet me. As soon as they hear I'm a psychic or a medium, oh, what do you see about me? Oh, is there anyone standing with me? And it's like, you know, I'm not working right now. it takes energy to tune in, and that's kind of an annoying thing. You know, you wouldn't have a plumber over to a party at your home and say, oh, while you're here, you want to go fix my bathroom sink free? You know, but people don't see it that way. But it does take energy to do it.
What do you do when you feel someone that's being hit by a bag of bricks? What do you do when that happens, when you're walking down the street? Do you just continue on, or how do you deal with that?
Well, I usually have to just remind myself to protect myself.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. it's like a reminder that I have to kind of keep an energy barrier around myself, because mm-hmm. sometimes I just forget to do that. But I do require a fair bit of time on my own, because no matter how much I protect myself from mm-hmm. other people's energies, I still really feel it, and I need time to be alone to mm-hmm. sort of decompress, I
mm-hmm.
guess.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Can I just answer? I just wanted to say mm-hmm. something in response to your previous question mm-hmm. when you asked about how my life has been impacted. I wanted to just add that it has been so wonderful to be able to connect people with loved ones in spirit, because mm-hmm. you can still have a lot of healing from beyond the grave. And there are a lot of times it helps people to finish unfinished business, or it just brings comfort. Sometimes people just want to know that their loved ones are really okay. So that has been a massive blessing in my life to be mm-hmm. able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Great, good. And how can a reading be helpful to people? And you've started to answer that by...
But in part, yeah, in right, part. Yeah. There's for mediumship, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of more like the psychic aspect, a reading can be really helpful. I mean, I've got a social work and counseling background, so I use my abilities to sort of, I guess, look at the deeper issues when someone's stuck. They'll come for a reading about, you know, maybe they're lacking clarity in their lives, or they feel sort of lost, or they don't know what direction to take. So I can tune in and pick up things about them that they can't see. You know, sometimes we're in the box, so we don't always see things, and it can really help that way. And it's like whole bunch of hours of counseling dumped into one, because we can just have this laser focused look at what's really going on.
Mm-hmm.
Or even with careers, for example, I had a lady not long ago contact me because she just felt really stuck in her career, didn't know where to go. And as soon as I tuned in, I started seeing creativity and something about creativity. And I said to her, have you ever considered art therapy? And she just laughed and she said, oh my goodness, I haven't thought of that in years. I loved that idea when I was a kid. Haven't thought about it in probably 20 years. Hmm. And before the end of the call, she was set off on this course of, you know, going back to school and doing art therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's weird the things that can come up. But I, and some people like to have a reading to ask questions that I think are kind of a waste of time, like what's going to happen when his wife finds out? Well, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to hit the fan and he probably won't leave her anyway. Do you know what I mean? That people mm-hmm. want to know, when am I going to get a great job? Well, I guess when you get off your backside and go find it. I mean, but really, people, a lot of people, now it isn't everyone certainly, but a lot of people are desperate when they see a psychic, and that's not always a good thing. Unless they're really willing to hear how they can actually take control of their own lives and participate in making the things happen that they're desperate to see.
Mm-hmm.
So we often get people who will say, oh, when is this or that going to happen? And we can take a look at the energy that is in front of them and say, well, you know, feels like September, such and such might happen. And a lot of people will just go away and think, oh, okay, good. It's going to happen in September. And then they don't do anything to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if they hadn't had the reading, or if they carry on and do something to make it happen, that is when it happens. But so you have to really be sort of careful about what you want to accomplish with the reading. But they can be extremely helpful in bringing clarity and helping to give people hope. Like I always say, you can live a long time on just a little bit of hope, and readings can certainly do that.
I have a
help
church
have some direct-
that I go to. I try to go, they have a psychic fair once a month, and I try to go to support the church because the people are just so wonderful, and they're not into money, and that's the way I was brought up. And so I like the people very much. I go, but the chapel ceiling fell. The kitchen was leaking. This was a problem. That was a problem. I said to them one day, I said, you know, I love you because you're not into money, but you need a certain amount of money. You know how to manifest. Why do you not use the things that you know so that you can take care of the church so that you're, you know, you're safe?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they said there was two factions in the church. One wanted to and the other one didn't. And so I gave them a subscription. It's forever. I know two men who have learned how to elevate consciousness and also to measure consciousness. And so if you take a subscription to your property, you can give one to a church. And I gave it to that church. And I asked one of the psychics who had been out for about 6 months. He had health issues. And I said to him, do you feel any different in the church now? He said, there's not the dissension that used to be here. He said, I feel much more comfortable. There's more cooperation, etc. So I thought, well, this is real interesting, you know, and so maybe they'll get the ceiling fixed. But it's still not fixed.
Oh dear. I, you know, a lot of people struggle with accepting money for this sort of work. And I did too for
mm-hmm.
a long
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually I started to understand something about it, a few things about it. And I used to do about monthly, readings for over about a 5 year period on the BBC. Used to do psychic
mm-hmm.
phone-ins.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one night a lady rang in and she said, so if it's a gift, you know, it's like a divine gift or something
mm-hmm.
you're just born with, why do you charge money for it? I said, well, there are a few reasons for that. I said, first of all, it's a service.
Mm-hmm.
People pay to go to counselors They pay to come and get guidance from a psychic. They get information, they get service, they get something that's meaningful and helpful to them in their lives, sometimes with a financial benefit or a happiness benefit or family benefit or whatever it is, it's still a benefit. And I said, if I sat and did free readings all day, what's going to happen when I go to buy my groceries?
Right.
You know,
right.
It's an exchange of energy. And I also said, what about all those artists and musicians who are raking in ridiculous amounts of money because they've, you know, honed their gift and they're doing mm-hmm. it professionally? Mm-hmm. I said, it takes energy and it takes work and it takes practice and effort to make sure that you work on your skills. And it takes practice and energy, or not practice, it takes a bit of preparation before you do readings. You know, it does take mm-hmm. our time. My time is worth something, especially when someone receives a benefit. By the time I got through with her, especially when I brought up the thing about art and music and mm-hmm. other things that come naturally to people, you know, ability to write or act or whatever, and they get paid crazy amounts of money, she was kind of quiet by the end of the call. It does take, you know, people who are spiritually minded often struggle to take mm-hmm. money for what they do. And same with my healing, any healing work I've done. Same thing. It took me a long time to understand, wait a minute, I'm making it possible for people to enjoy their lives and continue their jobs and earn their money and be well. And I'm giving it away. And then it's to my own detriment. What? So
I think no sometimes with individuals, it's low self-esteem also. And
yep.
I think of Louise Hay and all of the work she did. But, you know, she said that in her growing up, she was abused, and then she had such low self-esteem that she'd take any job she was offered, and she would mm-hmm. let people abuse her, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, until mm-hmm. she got a hold of herself and got a hold of her life and started making changes. And then she was able to help so many other people. And I think sometimes when you're so involved in low self-esteem, you're so self-centered that you aren't able to help other people either. And I imagine that once you resolve that issue, you're able to help people much more than you would have otherwise. Is that true or not?
I would say so. I mean, I certainly was able to help people a lot. Mm-hmm. But I think you're right. You help them in a better way when your own feelings of self-worth are better, because that's what it was. You know, I didn't value my time. I knew that what I was doing had value, huge value, whether it was as a homeopath or mm-hmm. my mm-hmm. spiritual healing or distance healing or readings or whatever. It all had value, but I didn't see that I had value.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was the missing piece. And once I did that, then I could add a whole other layer to the, well, just it changed my energy so that I could help in another way mm-hmm. when I was dealing with people, or when I am dealing mm-hmm. with people.
Then, Liberty, how do you receive information?
Well, I am clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient, and claircognizant.
Wow.
Which means I hear things, I see things,
mm-hmm.
I know things, and I feel things. So I can be... for example, if I'm communicating with a spirit,
mm-hmm.
it can change. I can hear them telling me things. I'll hear words, maybe whole sentences. You know, they might actually just speak to me. I can see them, much like if you're remembering seeing someone and you kind of have it in your mind's eye. They're not solid in front of you like an actual person would be in your physical presence,
mm-hmm.
but much the way if you're remembering someone, it kind of looks like that to me. So I can describe kind of generally what I see, or they might show me images of something. Like the other day I was doing a reading for somebody, and I said, she's telling me about the red dress. She really loved the red dress. And this woman just cracked up and she said, oh my goodness, my sisters wanted to bury her in this red dress that she died in her 70s and she mm-hmm. wore this thing in her 40s, and I hated it. I thought it was so inappropriate, but they knew how much she loved that dress. So here she's coming through to say, like, yay, you know, your sisters chose the right dress. Like that is so I'll see things like that, or I can feel things. So sometimes I can feel how they passed or feel something related, which isn't very nice sometimes when they had a painful, awful death or a tragic death. But I can, or it can be good feelings. You know, I can feel excitement about something that's coming up. Like they're giving me a sense of excitement, and a word or an image that, you know, is it a wedding or is it a birthday or whatever? And then I know things. I don't know how to explain that one. I just know something and I'll mm-hmm. say it. So I've got the full meal deal.
You know, it's interesting when you mentioned the red dress, I thought of my sister. My sister died about a year ago. And so when I saw, there's a psychic here that I go to about every 6 months. And I've known her for, I guess, maybe 30 years. And wow. After my sister died, she told me that my sister was very concerned because she died during her sleep and she was in her nightgown. And so she said, she asked, am I going to have to wear my nightgown all the time? And they said, no, you can wear whatever you want. She said she picked a dress that she had when she was 21 and that she liked. And so that's what she wore. But it's interesting what people will think, you know, mm-hmm. even when they pass, they still yeah. have these same feelings, I guess, from what she told me.
So even though they're in spirit, they mm-hmm. still come through to us in a way that we would recognize and with issues that we would recognize so that it validates for us that it really is that person.
Yeah.
Like the other day, I did a reading for someone, and at the end, and partway through, I said, have you been having problems with your dishwasher? And he said, yikes, I just had it repaired. and the thing was that his partner died last year, and then he's moved since mm-hmm. then. Mm-hmm. And he was really worried because he said, I thought he stayed at our other house. And he said, now I know because he knows about the dishwasher. I know he's here with me in this house.
Oh.
So that gave him huge comfort, you know, mm-hmm. something so little. But mm-hmm. But yeah, I kind of spooked him. It was funny.
right. Then,
but they'll say those things too. They want to make sure that we know it really is mm-hmm. them.
Yeah, I think that also I find that with the Bible. I don't agree with what's in the Bible. Because it's inconsistent with the philosophy of a loving God. And
it really is.
I think sometimes that it's written in a way that man understands, but that wasn't really what happened. And it's the example of Jesus throwing the money changers out of the temple. Well, you know, maybe anger is all right, but I don't accept angry because he's the role model. And probably the people could not interpret it any other way but to put it in something that man would understand.
Right, I agree with you.
Then, Liberty, has there ever been unusual circumstances in which you have delivered messages from spirit?
Oh, yes. I remember the first time it happened. It had taken me some time to get used to delivering messages to people I already knew, you know, friends, mm-hmm. for example. I'm sitting chatting with someone and a spirit pops in. It took me a long time to feel like, I guess it's okay to say something. But I can remember the first time I was in a pub when I was in, not the first time in the pub, but the first time when I was in a pub in England and this happened, I'm sat there with my glass of wine looking across the pub, just sort of nothing in particular. And I saw a young man walk from the bar with his pint over to his table. And I thought, uh-oh, I knew I had to give him a message. And I really rebelled about it. I did not want to do it. I thought he's going to think I'm absolutely nuts. But the feeling was still there. So I learned sometime before, it's not up to me to edit. So I walked across the pub and I went and approached him and said, this might sound a little bit weird, but... And I explained, you know, I'm a psychic and a medium, and well, this person popped in with, you know, I have to tell you whatever the message was. And the look on his face was priceless,
mm-hmm.
shocked, obviously. But then he just said, thank you so much. You have no idea how much I needed to hear that. And I've had that sort of thing happen more than once. So saying it to a complete stranger is kind of odd. Or being at a party and or in just a social situation or sitting and having a cup of coffee with somebody, especially when it's a stranger, someone you've just met, and a spirit will pop in. And you know they know, oh, okay, we finally connected, the two of you, so I can get my message through. They really do take that opportunity. So that's happened where I'm with people I don't really know, and messages will just come through randomly. So it's always well received, though. I've never had it happen to somebody. Because it's that's the whole point. That's why I have that ability.
Mm-hmm.
And I understood that, you know, as I said, it took several years of getting past the fear and not understanding it before I realized this is a gift. And as one of my daughters put it a couple of years ago, she said, Mom, it's not a gift for you. It's a gift to the people mm-hmm. who get the reading from you. And I went, oh, that made sense. That's true.
Right, right. Then, Liberty, what are some of the most memorable communications you've had with spirit?
Oh, gosh, there have been so many. One that just jumped out at me is was when I was in England, and I was at my local pub. And, gosh, it sounds like I lived at the pub, doesn't it? But, heck, it's part of the English culture.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have I mentioned the pub now?
Mm-hmm.
But I was over there one evening chatting with my friends, and I had kind of just met this one man with whom I was speaking that evening. And a young boy came through all of a sudden. I didn't know who he was, didn't know what was going on. But this he was about, I think, about 10 or 12. I can't remember exactly now. It was a long time ago. But he had died very suddenly. And I was getting all this information about his heart and his chest, and that mm-hmm. it was sudden. It was shocking, and the circumstances were particularly shocking and tragic. But he had just dropped dead of a heart attack on the school floor in the phys ed class. And this man's, I think it was his nephew or no, his younger brother? Maybe it was his younger brother. I can't remember now the relationship was so long ago. I think it was a younger brother. And then I also had information about his mother and how this affected her, and a message for her from the boy that was particularly specific and meaningful. Didn't mean anything to me. And that often happens. The message doesn't mean mm-hmm. much to me,
mm-hmm.
or it doesn't make sense. But when I say it to people, they go, oh, that completely makes sense. So that was certainly one of the most bittersweet memories, I suppose,
mm-hmm.
of being able to connect this little boy with his mother along, like, years after he passed.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd been waiting to hear this message. So, and I could see this big man. He was about 6'5", and he had to duck in the pub because it was so old and had the low ceilings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've been to England. You know
right,
what that's
right.
like. So he's there ducking under the beams, and I could see he was fighting tears. His eyes are kind of welling up, and he's, you know, big, broad, tough guy, and didn't mm-hmm. want me to see that. So it was quite touching. I love being able to do that, you know, to connect people in that way. It's so meaningful and so life-changing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Good. Then, Liberty, have you ever experienced negative reactions to your profession?
Not to my sessions, but to the fact that I do this. Yes,
mm-hmm.
in fact, not too long ago on Facebook, I will occasionally do, like, I'll throw out a thing where I say, you know, for the next hour or two, ask me a yes or no question and I'll answer it.
Mm-hmm.
And they usually get more than yes or no from me. But so I did that, and somebody popped up on there and said that it was satanic and that I was a harlot. And you know, it's like, well, okay, you're entitled to your opinion, but no. but there are some, and I think people fear it.
Do they?
And they will, you know, they'll pick, you mentioned the Bible, and certainly mm-hmm. in Deuteronomy, I know there's, says something in there about not seeing a soothsayer, right, a fortune teller. And although this is a little different than that, but there is that element of this. And I think when this woman initially told me, you know, you've been possessed by Satan and this comes from the Bible, and she told me about this thing in Deuteronomy, I thought, right then, I'm going to read the whole Bible. I'm going to understand it. So I did. I read the whole Bible start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I got to the end of it, I went, well, you know what? There's a whole lot of other stuff in Deuteronomy that we don't do.
Mm-hmm.
We're not sacrificing animals. mm-hmm. We would have trouble if we were taking goats to the temple all the time or whatever it was, you know, on so many days after you've had a child, you have to go and, you know, kill this and slaughter that. And there are loads of, you know, and stoning people. We're supposed to stone our neighbors for committing adultery or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There are all these things that are in the same book, in mm-hmm. the same section of Deuteronomy. Well, how can you just pick that one out and say that one counts?
Right.
If we're not doing all the rest. So I thought, right, that's not going to do it for me. But I think for a lot of people, it's fear, and they don't understand where
right.
it comes from.
Right.
They don't see it as a gift from God. It's scary, and they don't know what they're going to hear. You know, a lot of people are still afraid of reading. Some people, I guess, will mm-hmm. maybe be a bit unethical, and they'll give scary information or deliver it in a scary way, but that's so not me.
Right.
I couldn't and wouldn't, but so many things. It's a fear-based response.
Well, I think the Bible has women as second-class citizens also. And
mm-hmm.
I don't think a loving God would, you know, preach that. And so, again, I think men that wrote the Bible got in the way. And also, I've talked with some of the people who have written about the Gnostic Bible, the sections of the Bible that were left out. And I found that very interesting. There's actually a chapter on Mary and chapters on Judas. There's a chapter on Judas, you know.
Oh,
and so there's
those would be fascinating.
Right. There's chapters that are left out of the Bible. And I think that you don't get the whole picture even. But I don't think that what you get is necessarily all accurate either. But people take it as the word. And, I mean, some people do, and some mm-hmm. of us don't. Is there anything else you would like to say before we look at your book and services and how listeners can reach you, et cetera?
I thank you for that opportunity. I think I would just encourage people to, if they're going to approach a psychic or a medium, do it with an open mind and make sure that it's someone with whom you feel comfortable. If there's anything that doesn't feel good or feel right,
mm-hmm.
speak up or don't contact that person or if it doesn't feel like it's connecting, if the person isn't connecting within the first few minutes, say so. Because sometimes, you know, it doesn't happen often, but sometimes we aren't connecting.
Mm-hmm.
But a good, reputable psychic will know that immediately within minutes and will say, you know what, I just don't feel like I'm connecting with you, so here's your money back, and
mm-hmm.
that's that.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them will carry on and try to make you feel like it's your fault for, you know, for maybe not being able to recognize the information or something, and that's not good. So
mm-hmm.
follow your instincts if you're choosing someone, and then when you're in the reading.
Thank you. Great. Then, Liberty, would you tell us about your book and services and how the listeners can reach you?
Thank you. I don't know which book you mean, but what the heck, I'll throw one of them out there. I've written several. I'm not sure, 10 or 12 books out there at the moment.
Oh, great.
Tell
us about all of them.
Well, let's see. We've got Meditation Essentials. That one won the Beverly Hills International Book Award a couple of years ago. It's
great.
Just a really super... I struggled with meditation for years and finally figured it out. And it became the easiest thing in the world. And so when I teach people meditation, they often come to me saying, I could never meditate. I've tried everything. And one session with me and they're doing it like a pro. So this book has a whole bunch of little short, easily digestible sections that give lots of tips and tricks that I learned to make it really simple, and then a little exercise at the end of each of those sections
mm-hmm.
so you can practice what you've just learned. I've got one that's the one I'd really like to mention. I'm actually in the process of updating it, and it'll probably be renamed, but at the moment it's called The Power and Simplicity of Self-Healing, and I wrote it about six, seven years ago. And it details my own self-healing journey. I was critically ill with a heart problem for a long time, among many other things, and had kind of run out of options. And I was so ill. And I thought about people who cure themselves of cancer and various other things. And I thought, well, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I'm going to be one of those people. Actually, I said it with some words I wouldn't say to you right now.
Mm-hmm.
I was having a bit of a temper tantrum. I was quite fed up and angry. And the long story short is information started coming to me, which I believe was divinely led, that I was divinely led to all these bits of information, and charted my progress. And there's so much information in this book, so many aspects of the physical, mental, emotional, energetic, and environmental levels of our lives that, that people can use to help themselves. And I've had people write to me from different parts of the world and say they've read this book and it's helping reduce their pain, it's making them feel better, you know, this or this is better, that's better. So that's been really wonderful. And then I have some other kind of inspirational books that are sort of like the chicken soup ones. I've also done a paranormal thriller fiction series called The Montgomery Chronicles, detailing a family through a few years of the 1950s. There's the first one, the novella. It's a prelude to the series. People can get that free on one or two of my websites, and then the others, the novels, are on Amazon and everywhere else. Yeah, lots of books. I love to write, and I've also done a couple of inspirational coloring books. So you get about a full page of inspirational, thought-provoking text for each of the images to color.
And services?
Services, well, my favorite thing right now would be the doing the readings, psychic as a psychic and a medium, but it's with a view to it being offering guidance and, as I like to say, helping people get unstuck and moving forward. I'm also a numerologist, and I often find that incorporating numerology into the readings can be really helpful too. It actually totally changed my life. I used to think it was kind of just for fun, but it's pretty powerful. So those are the main things that I'm doing these days.
And your website?
The easiest one that I don't have to spell, well, there are two, I guess, if they want, they're looking at my books. They've got booksbyliberty.com and the one for readings and other sorts of things related would be yourstoryofhope.com.
Sounds great.
Well, and if people, when they contact me, if they're interested in a reading, or one of my other services, if they mention that they came to me through you, through this interview, they will get 15% off.
Great. Good. Good. I appreciate that. Well, I thank you very much, Liberty. It's been very interesting, very informative, and I'm sure people are going to want to contact you. And so maybe if you give your website again.
It's yourstoryofhope.com, or my email address is info@yourstoryofhope.com. Easy to find. I've also got a, that's enough. There we go. That's just easy. And I thank you ever so much for this opportunity. I love being able to talk about the work that I do to help teach people a little bit about what this work really is about and what it can do, and that it really isn't anything to fear, and that it can be very helpful as long as you find someone with whom you feel comfortable and have a sense of trust.
Great.
Thank you again.
And we'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Thank you. Because we have some time left today, I would like to talk with you about my new Cancer Foundation and an opportunity that I think will be of interest to you. My new Cancer Foundation can be found at www.holisticcancerfoundation.com. On the site, you will see first a video of the foundation. You will also see the goals, which are education, research, and patient care. I have an impressive board and advisory board for this foundation, and you can look at these on the site. I have worked for over a year getting content on the site, including interviews with cancer patients and doctors, cancer research, cancer treatment, and what is different on my site is research on mental, spiritual interventions and interviews with experts for interviews like affirmations, visualization, prayer, meditation, gratitude, forgiveness, and many others. These are included because I believe that disease results from multiple factors, and consequently, a holistic approach is necessary for recovering from cancer. To me, prayer, faith, optimism, and others are as important in treatment as medication, supplements, diet, and other interventions. I have experience to support this belief. Having used a holistic approach since 1970, when I volunteered as a camp nurse for the Edgar Cayce Organization, it was natural to use this approach when I was diagnosed with lung cancer in 1974. Curing this disease with all natural holistic interventions, I continued using the approach in my personal life and with clients, and am now considered a pioneer in holistic health. I worked for about a year developing content on preventing cancer for my Cancer Foundation website. This content of over 150 pages has been published as a book titled Reducing Your Cancer Risk, A Holistic Approach, available on my website or at Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, and other sites for $14.95 to benefit the foundation. It will include the following. First, as a longtime educator, I like to start my writing with a theoretical framework in which to place the content. So there is first a theoretical framework based upon public health concepts. This framework will basically look at, first, ways to reduce the risk of known environmental carcinogens, and second, ways to strengthen the host against environmental and other carcinogens. Content on reducing the effect of known environmental carcinogens include electromagnetic waves, toxic chemicals such as BPA, formaldehyde, toxic metals such as aluminum and mercury, and last, ultraviolet waves. For all areas, there will be research related to the carcinogen, what you can do to reduce the risk, and an interview with an expert for many of these. The second part looks at ways to strengthen the host or you against carcinogens. It includes areas such as physical activities, nutrition, including genetically modified organisms, organic food, etc., fluids, water and milk, supplements, vitamins, minerals, immune builders, sleep, smoking cessation, music, and then it moves into mental, spiritual interventions that includes affirmations, compassion, faith, forgiveness, gratitude, meditation, optimism, prayer, relaxation exercises, serving or helping others, social support, stress reduction, and visualization. Again, for each of these, there is research, what to do to strengthen yourself against cancer, and interviews with experts for many of these. You will hear interviews with 30 cancer or related experts on mental, spiritual interventions, such as forgiveness, gratitude, faith, and compassion. You'll hear about omega-3s, genetically modified organisms, genetically modified food, plant-based and other nutritional diets, smoking cessation, chemical and mental carcinogens, immune builders, music, and much, much more. So I hope this will be helpful to you and will help in preventing cancer in the future.
I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show, and I hope some of the information will be useful to you. I invite you to my websites, holistichealthshow.com, where you will find all shows for the past 7 years under the blog. You will also find much of the research on natural ways to deal with cancer and other health conditions, and can sign up for my free monthly newsletter. On my website, beatlungcancer.net, you will find many of the 135 interviews from radio and television over the past 2 years about my book on treating lung cancer naturally and holistically when I was diagnosed 41 years ago next month and given 6 months to live by traditional medicine who offered chemo and surgery. This book was published in November 2012 and was a bestseller on Amazon. You will find endorsements of the book, a place to buy the book, and an earlier one from 2007 titled Healthy Holistic Aging, A Blueprint for Success. On my third website, you will find information on the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation, begun last year and currently in the phase of completing the website. This site is at www.holisticcancerfoundation.com. Information on how the foundation differs from others, board members, research on holistic natural ways to deal with cancer, including mental and spiritual interventions, interviews with cancer physicians and survivors, and more. If you would like to donate to the work I am supporting, there is a tab to donate, and I can offer you a tax exemption receipt if living in the United States. I also invite you to join me on Facebook at my Facebook page, www.facebook.com/Carl Helvey, on my Holistic Health Show page at www.facebook.com/pages/Holistic Health Show, and the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation page at www.facebook.com/beatlungcancernaturalalternative. On LinkedIn, I invite you to join me under my name, Dr. Carl O'Helvey. On Twitter, I invite you to join me at www.twitter.com/HolistHealthShow, HolistHealthShow. I wish you a great week, and I look forward to having you here in 2 weeks. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host.